Please go ahead and take your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4 in just a moment. This will be our text for today. Great singing this morning. For His glory and our good. That song obviously reminded me, as it may have you, of Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for good, for those who love Him, for those who are the called according to His purpose. And I just got to thinking, you know, some of the things that we maybe face, or maybe perhaps are even facing currently, how when we stand before the Lord one day, He will let us know how that particular thing, that particular struggle, was for His glory and it was for our good. We can't see it right now, but God may, in His mercy, reveal that to us one day, as He has promised that He would work all things together for our good. 1 Corinthians 16 is where we'll read from in just a second. Let's go over our memory verse for this week. It's Philippians 4:13, if you'd say it aloud together with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you have the memory down already? Memory verse down already? All right. You see the Bible reading plan. We'll make confession together today from Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. And all God's people said, Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, I'll read verses 1 through 4 this morning. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Please follow along in your copy of God's Word. And this is the Word of the living God that He would have us to hear this morning. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you've said, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Father, as we come to your word together today, we desire to, Lord, let our souls delight in abundance. Father, not an abundance of worldly possessions, silver or gold, bills or coins, but, Father, for our souls to delight in you, in your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who was given for our sins as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Father, we will learn to delight. Our souls will learn to delight in you and in your Son by the power of your Spirit within us and through the knowledge that we gain of you through your word. So please bless your word this morning as it goes out. In Christ's name, amen. I want to share with you a message entitled Concerning the Collection. This is in the long list of concerning statements. Not that they're concerning statements, but they are concerning statements. In 1 Corinthians, where Paul is dealing with issues that the Corinthians had asked them about. This is the next to last one. So it's concerning, and I'm not going to go back over the other ones with you all because I know you have those nailed down already. But this is concerning the collection. And I'll have like 4 points that I'd like to work through this passage with. So first of all, we're going to see this. The collection was calculated. It was calculated. Calculated means planned or contrived to accomplish a purpose. All right? It was planned or contrived to accomplish a purpose. The collection was calculated. Now, what do we mean by that? Those are some long words. I got to really be careful about putting long words in there to have to fill in these blanks. But as we look at verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints. So it was calculated because the collection that was to be received was one that was for the saints. Collection was, the collection of money or valuables. It actually comes from the word that we get logos from for word in the New Testament. But in this particular instance, it means collection of money or valuables. That is the meaning of it here. And so this was a collection that was calculated for the saints. And if you want to write down this reference, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Because you might ask yourself the question, or someone may be asking, what are the saints? This is a real good verse to describe who the saints are. 1 Corinthians, it's actually verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. Y'all find it there if you haven't yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And notice this as it describes who are the saints. He's writing to the Corinthians. He says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So who are saints? What makes a person a saint? It's someone who has been sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart as holy. That's what makes us saints. You are only a saint if you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. It is impossible to be a saint and not be in Christ Jesus. Okay? It's very important that we understand that. So saints are sanctified in Christ Jesus, but you notice in verse 2, continuing, where it says, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. It is not a small thing. It is not a blank thing to be sanctified in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean there's nothing there. What it means is the people who are sanctified in Christ Jesus are in Him because they call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are, as it says there, who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ. Call on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So we join that long line of people who call on the name of the Lord. Saints are those who call on the name of the Lord. All right, now the Bible continues to talk about this quite a bit, this collection that is taking place here in 2 Corinthians in chapters 8 and 9. It's probably passages related to this collection. And I'll just tell you some of what that says. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4, there is a fellowship of the ministering to the saints. All right, so that is in reference to them giving, the Corinthians giving. Chapter 8, verse 5, the reason they would give is because they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And we see in chapter 8, 6, and 7 that to give was a grace. To give in this collection was a grace from God to be able to do so. And chapter 9, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, that it was for them to supply for the needs of the saints. So this is 2 Corinthians passages 8 and 9, where there's continued emphasis on the saints. The money given was given to help those saints who were in need. Who were these? We will learn that they are those who were in Jerusalem. They were saints who were there. You might want to write down Acts chapter 11, verse 28 as a cross-reference as to why this collection would even need to be given for the saints in Jerusalem or Judea. And it would be because of a famine that was going to overtake the world, and the saints in Jerusalem were going to be particularly impacted by this. Therefore, the churches were giving in order to help these saints. All right? So, this certainly relates somewhat to our giving. You know, we take up a collection, and that's really a good way to talk about the offering, tithes and offerings. It's also the collection. If you have anything to give to the collection this morning, you can give in the Dropbox. You can do so through your church app or through our website. See, Aaron, I just took care of some of the announcements already, so you don't. But it's the collection that's given. This was given for the saints, and I just want us to think about this together for a second. Our giving is not the same as this, but it is. Because when we give, we're not necessarily giving, you know, because there's a famine or there's a group of saints somewhere that need help. But our giving is for the saints. If you think about it, the money that's given here at New Life Baptist Church, it is given for the saints. Maybe not to pay your electric bill or to buy food, though we have done that with the collection that's given. And the saints here have helped those outside of the church who needed those things. But we could do so because money was given through the church to the saints that could then be used for the ministry. You know, everything pertaining to the ministry at NLBC, from staff salaries to the maintenance of the building to the light bill to goldfish crackers for the children's class to insurance to plates and cups for fellowship meals. Who primarily benefits from all this? We do. And we are the what? The saints. Were it not for your collective giving, then that wouldn't be possible. However, there are also times when saints among us or those we know need specific help. And we've been able to pool our resources in times past to help specific needs that have arisen among this congregation or perhaps among missionaries that we support or other local churches. We have been able to help churches that we've never even met before, that congregation. But because we knew of a need, we were able to send money to help them. So these things go to help the saints. Galatians 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's go to point number two. The collection was common. Not only was the collection calculated, but it was common. We find this in verse 1 as well, because at the end of it, it says, "As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you also must do." So it was common because it was common among the churches. This is something that you notice there in verse 1 that he had given orders to the churches of Galatia. Now, these churches of Galatia, if you remember the book of Galatians, the letter of the Galatians was written to the churches of Galatia. So it's written to a region. Well, what were the churches of Galatia? Now, these churches would have been those churches that we find in Acts chapter 13 and 14. When the Apostle Paul, it would be on his first missionary journey, and he went to places like Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. All right, this was also where Timothy would have come from, the Galatia region. So Paul here, as he's writing to the Corinthians, has apparently already given orders, a command to the churches of Galatia, and here he tells the church in Corinth that they are to do the same thing. So I would like to point out to you, by way of application here, that the church does not ask the world to support the church. Churches support the saints. Saints support saints. We don't have yard sales, car washes, Boston butt sales, etc., etc., in order to supply for the ministry of the church. And the reason we do not do that, in part, is for passages like this. But we do not go out into the world and ask them to support the ministry of the word, the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the church. The church is to give to help support this ministry. And it should be broader and wider than just us. As I've told you already, that we have had opportunity in the past to support churches beyond us. The biblical norm is that saints give to help and support the saints. Churches give for the church. It's not supported by the world. 2 Corinthians informs us that it was also common among the churches of Macedonia. You'll see that as we get there in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that the Macedonian church, this is northern Greece. Macedonia would be northern Greece. Achaia, where the Corinthians were. Corinth was within southern Greece. And then you have the churches of Galatia that were over in Asia Minor. And so the churches were all collectively helping to support this work. All right, so you got churches of Galatia. And really, if you look at this chapter, you'll see several locations. If you look at verse 5, here you see Macedonia mentioned. I thought this to be interesting, the places that are mentioned here. Verse 5, now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia. Go down to verse 8, but I will tarry in Ephesus. So he was in Ephesus when he wrote 1 Corinthians. Acts 18 is where Corinth happened. Acts 19 is where Ephesus happened. Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians when he was in Acts chapter 19. All right? He wrote back to them, having just been there for 18 months, in Corinth in chapter 18. All right? So then you go down to verse 15. I urge you, brethren, you know also the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. And then in verse 19, the churches of Asia greet you. This perhaps would have been the churches of Galatia or some others. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily. So several different locations. Everyone matters. Makes a difference. If you go back over to chapter 14, I'd like to point out to you in verse 33. Some of you are saying, oh no, we're going back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Notice the last part of this, but it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So he's thinking about all of them. All the churches of the saints. Verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. So you notice he says, let your women keep silent in the churches. The application of this, I'm not getting back into any of that, but I wanted to point out to you, the churches is what is who he is writing to here. There was a partnership. You can go out of chapter 14 now if that's made you upset. This was a partnership or cooperation between churches to help with a major need among the saints in Jerusalem. Let's go to point number 3. The collection was commanded. Now we're moving to verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Actually, the end of verse 1, as I have given orders. This could be a command. I've given orders. I'm not suggesting this. I haven't suggested it to the church in Galatia. I'm not suggesting it to you, Corinthians. I'm saying, I'm ordering, I'm commanding that you also must take part in this collection. So it was commanded. This collection here in 1 Corinthians 16, it was commanded to the church. It was to be a church-wide priority. The church here is the Corinthian church, but it's the churches, the whole church. This was to be a priority for them. So it was a church-wide priority. And we also see that it is a personal priority. Because in verse 2, he goes on and says, On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something. So on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay this aside. It's a church-wide priority. It is a personal priority. Now, let's just glean here for just a second from this passage. Because you'll notice here, it says on the first day of the week. So this would have been the Lord's Day. This would have been Sunday, the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. And this became what Revelation 1, where John there calls this, that he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, Sunday, became the Lord's Day for the church. And this is when the church assembled. You might want to write down Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Because there we hear from the from Luke that Paul, it says this, now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. So they had come together to take of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. This was a common practice for the church. It's why we meet today. Christ having risen from the dead, we join together as the local church, not on Saturday, but we join together on the day that Christ rose again from the dead, the Lord's Day. And we assemble for that reason. The Corinthians were doing the same. And on this first day of the week, they were to make this a priority to lay something aside. So you'll see the wording in verse 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up. So the individual lays something aside, and it's stored up in the collective giving of the church. Okay? Each one lays it aside. It's laid aside when the church comes together. The church collects those funds. There's a collection taken, and it is stored up. And it would be stored up for the Apostle Paul and those who would work with him, not for him, but for him to make sure, or for them to make sure that it gets to the saints who are in Jerusalem. Because you see there at the end of verse 2, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. In other words, he's saying, I don't want to have to gather this. I don't want to have to gather this up when I get there. All right? When we get there, the collecting should already be done. And then we should have the resources that you've set aside to be able to take to the saints in Jerusalem. Or someone will. Okay? Now, notice this important thing in verse 2. In verse 2. Storing up as he may what? Prosper. All right, the Old Testament gives the principle of tithing. Which, what does a tithe mean? That means a what? A tenth. Okay? Now, a tenth is an excellent baseline for giving. All right? That's a baseline. But this passage gives us a guidance, and it's really about as much as we have in the New Testament. we are to give, or they were to give, and we can take that as an application to ourselves as well, that we are to give as we have prospered. It may mean 10%, it may mean more than 10%, but we should give as we have prospered, as we see there in verse 2. I'll give you some references. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." God has a way of giving back to those who give. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. If we sow generously, we will reap generously from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 is another cross-reference. The Lord loves a cheerful what? Giver. And that's how the Lord wants us to give. He wants us to give cheerfully. Luke 12, 20 through 21 speaks of those who lay up treasure in heaven and not on earth. And it says, so he lays up a treasure for himself. I'm sorry, this passage talks about the person who pursues riches over laying up treasure in heaven. But it says of that one that he lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So this passage perhaps reminds us of the importance of giving to the collection. Now, I want to say New Life Baptist Church is a generous church, and you guys give faithfully to support the saints here. You give faithfully to support the work here, and we are grateful for that. We should be grateful for one another, and I am grateful for you in your generous giving, which you display and have done for many years here at New Life Baptist Church. I want you to realize that this passage supports and undergirds what you do. As you give faithfully, this passage is saying, hey, you're doing the right thing in giving to the collection for the saints. And this is a common thing that happens among the churches. And know that it is something that the Apostle Paul, in this particular case, commanded it for the churches to take part in it. And again, it's not exactly the same as what was going on there, but we see principles here that certainly apply to us. I want to make sure that our young people, we have a lot of teenagers who are growing up, you're working, making money, even some of you younger kids may make money. I want to encourage you to begin to make it a discipline, spiritual discipline in your life, to give back as you prosper. I remember, and I'm not telling y'all that because it's like, we want your money, okay? That's not it. I remember after God saved me, one of the first things when I was 17 years old, one of the first things that he revealed to me, and I remember this being one of the first things I was convicted about as a Christian, is that I was not giving as I should have been giving to the local church, giving to the support the work of this ministry. I've just kind of been given a little bit, like a dollar or something like that in the offering. And God convicted me about that. And I realized that's something I need to repent of and that I need to change. And I needed to do that to be obedient to the Lord. So as I'm talking to you all about learning this discipline of giving as you prosper, I'm not saying that because we want your money. I'm saying that because it's the right thing for you to do because God is the one who has given so much to us. You see, through Jesus coming, and though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through him might become rich. So Christ has done so much in giving his life for us. It is a very small thing that we simply give back to help in the ministry of the saints, the collection that's given for the church and the work done by her. Point number four is this: the collection was carefully handled. So the collection was calculated, the collection was common, the collection was commanded, and then finally, the collection was to be carefully handled. And this handling of it was based upon an approval from the church. And this was an approval from the church in Corinth. It was based upon an approval from the church, and it was also to be an accountability of the collection. So in other words, this money's given. It's collected on the first day of the week over a period of time. This money is there. They've saved it aside. And now when the apostles come, when Paul comes and those with him, it's all gathered together. They're ready to write a check and send it with them to Jerusalem. Or send the resources, not in obviously a check form. So the collection was carefully handled. If you look at verse 3, it says, "And when I come, whomever you approve by letters or by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem." So Paul's going to come. They're going to say, "We want Titus and Timothy," or whoever it might be, "to take the money." And Paul says, "All right, I'm going to send them. Take the gift to Jerusalem." It's going to be by letters. In that day, have y'all ever heard of church letters? A letter from the church? We don't do that nearly as much. But when a person would join another congregation, they come by letter from First Baptist, Phil Campbell, Alabama. Okay? That means they were in good standing there. That church, their baptism is in line with Scripture. And they come by letter from that congregation because that congregation is saying, "These people are legitimate Christians, we commend them to your congregation." If you can write down the cross reference of 2 Corinthians 3 verse 1, I'm not going to look at it now, but there Paul speaks of letters from the church. This is something that goes all the way back to the New Testament. Here, they would have letters that would accompany them saying that they are sent by commission from Corinth to bear that gift to the church in Jerusalem, that they are legitimate messengers from that congregation. So it would be by their approval. And then the apostle says, "But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." I'm going to lead the way. If it's okay for me to go, if it's fitting for the plans of the church, for the plans of the Lord's will, if it's fitting for me to go, I'm going to go, and they can just tag right along with me as we go to Jerusalem. There is approval, but you see that it's more than one. They will go with me because there's accountability for this collection. And I'll give you a couple of references in conclusion. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows." Luke 12, verse 15. "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses." And then I'll give you one more from 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So the allurement of riches has caused a man and woman to fall and to gain a bad testimony. In this particular passage, we see that apparently there is to be some accountability for these funds because it is a plurality that would be caring for them. In verse 4, the Apostle Paul, perhaps, "But then they will go with me also." They, that is, whomever you approve. Those whom the church in Corinth set aside to take that money, then they would. Well, that's all I have for you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I'm grateful that you allow us to give to the work of the ministry, to the collection that is for the saints, because, Lord, we're ultimately really giving this, what we give, for others, not for ourselves, though we do benefit from it. But we give for others, we give for one another. God, we give in some cases for people we've never even seen before. But, God, you allow us to give generously in many, many cases. Lord, I thank you that you do not weigh our giving based upon what we do not have, but you weigh it based upon what we have. And I pray, God, that we would just all be encouraged by this passage today. Perhaps some in what they're doing already. Maybe some, Lord, realizing that they need to do more in this area in order to be just obedient to your will for their lives. So I thank you for this scripture. And most of all, as I said earlier, God, I thank you for Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through him might become rich. Thank you for the gospel, and that you save sinners like us. And I pray today, Lord, if there's anyone who realizes they're destitute spiritually, their souls do not delight in you, God, please draw them to yourself today through the gospel of Christ. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.